Welcome to Innovation Hub. I'm Kara Miller. Today's first story is not about big data. It's about flawed data that is really big business. Nielsen has become tremendously powerful measuring our TV viewing habits. But they admitted recently they've mismeasured data for months, which seems a little bit crazy in a world where your cell phone company knows where you are at all times, and Amazon knows about those self-help books you've been buying and the athletic socks that you wear. It all kind of makes you wonder why TV is still shackled to Nielsen ratings. So we went to James Poniewozik for some answers. He's a TV and media critic for Time. James, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
So despite the fact that Nielsen said, you know, oops, we screwed up here, there is still a lot of dependency on ratings. I mean, salaries are determined by ratings and advertising rates and, you know, whether a network is going to cancel a show. So this is not a tiny little inconsequential thing.
You know, I think the thing that everybody, you know, has to remember about Nielsen and about ratings is that they only exist because of money. You know, it's not like somebody decided to measure the amount of people who are watching specific television programs as a public service to, you know, increase our cultural knowledge about what is, you know, what is percolating in the zeitgeist.
Right.
It's a system by which one group of multi-billion dollar companies decides how much money to pay another group of multi-billion dollar companies for advertising. That in turn determines people's careers. It determines what shows you do and don't watch on television. There were entire stories written about ABC's news broadcast overtaking NBC in the ratings for the first time in years that had to be gone back and retracted because it turned out that the numbers were wrong.
Oh my God. So I wonder why the technology can't be better. I mean, a lot of us have Fitbits and we walk around and it tracks exactly how many steps we take in a day. Well, pretty much all of us have cable boxes in our living rooms. So why can't we know not just what a few people are watching as sort of a sample of, okay, maybe this is how many people are watching football or maybe this is how many people are watching ABC News, but why can't we know exactly what we're watching? And then even, you know, when we get to a part of a show that's boring and we turn away, websites are able to track that kind of data. What's up with TV?
Nielsen has an interest, obviously, as a company in making itself indispensable and using its own proprietary methods for collection and for analysis. And a big part of the reason that Nielsen is able to continue to exist is that there has to be an agreed-on, honest broker to set the standard by which advertisers decide how much to pay a broadcaster for a show. They're not just going to take, you know, ABC's word for it as to how much their shows are worth, and ABC's not going to take Procter & Gamble's word for it.
Are we in trouble or something?
No way. Gary loves the show. Pleased with the ratings.
Right, of course. They love us.
You know, there have been competitors that have attempted to take on Nielsen over the years. You see headlines about how TV networks and advertisers are going to join together and research some sort of technologically superior replacement for Nielsen. But it's never gotten off the ground yet, you know, for one thing, because, you know, that would be an expensive undertaking that they would have to underwrite. But yes, the great paradox, as you say, is that there is a tremendous amount of data out there. You know, Netflix bases decisions on an incredible amount of data that networks of the past would dream of having.
Right.
But we're still doing TV ratings on something more analogous to, you know, political polling.
In some ways, though, it feels like some TV networks have moved into a little bit of a different technological era. So I think about Sunday nights when there are so many good shows on. This is sort of the night of historically of Mad Men and Downton Abbey, but just so many good shows. And my sense of what networks are doing is they're basically saying, yeah, we understand you can't watch all the best shows on the same night because that's physically impossible. But that's okay. We know that you can watch it later. You can watch it on demand. You can TiVo it. So in some ways, I wonder if networks in some way have started to discount live ratings.
my term for it that I've been using lately is that Sunday night has become the Costco of television. You don't watch TV on Sunday night so much as you acquire it. You know, it's kind of this big box that you go to and you fill up on TV that you watch for the rest of the week.
It's your 100 mini crab cakes, and then you parcel them out over the week.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And your TiVo is like this big deep freezer that just has delicious television for the rest of the week. Now, one reason that Sunday became this destination for quality marquee television, this partly evolved over the past decade and more with HBO programming almost all of its big series on Sunday night, starting with The Sopranos and then moving forward from there.
I'm the one who calls the shots, and you better pay me the respect that I gave your brother, or we're gonna have a problem.
HBO doesn't care how long you take to watch its shows. They don't care if you watch the ads because there are no ads. Right. Downton Abbey, you know, same deal. That's not really an issue for PBS. With broadcasters and basic cable networks, it's more of Sunday is a time when you've got a lot of people's attention. More people watch TV on Sunday night than any other night. There is simply more buzz and media attention around it, so those shows get more of a spotlight on them. So yes, there is now an understanding that, okay, you may not watch The Good Wife or whatever other Sunday night show on Sunday night, but it benefits from having this Sunday night halo, and you'll watch it eventually. Now, does this mean that advertisers have discounted the value of live ratings? Not exactly. Advertisers would love to be able to decide which ratings they discount and not, but they don't. Ratings are important to, you know, commercial broadcasters on the basis of whether advertisers are willing to pay to advertise for that kind of viewing. Live ratings still matter a lot because you make the most money for them. However, networks have been moving incrementally toward getting advertisers to pay for a little bit more delayed viewing. You know, advertisers have always been resistant for that because, you know, if I record a show on TiVo, which I do all the time, I'm not watching the commercials because I'm not insane. I don't want to. You know, and I want to be able to watch my hour-long program in 42 minutes, like any, you know, rational, decent American citizen. Advertisers are aware of this, so there's become this dance where they've sort of hemmed and hawed and said, okay, we will pay a certain amount extra for rating based on, you know, there are these technical terms for them, but basically what people will watch live plus the same day plus the next couple of days of delayed viewing.
I wonder if we could be actually moving towards a different model. And you see this with websites. So there are some sites that basically try to get as many hits as possible, churn the people through. And then there are other sites that don't worry so much about numbers. They really try to get people who really care about the quality. They stay there for longer. And essentially, it's a quantity versus quality model. Do you think we could be moving towards that with TV?
Sure. I mean, I think TV has been going in that direction for years with the increasing importance of demographics in ratings and in ad rates. You know, you would have shows like, NBC's The Office or Parks and Recreation that seemed maybe not to have a gigantic amount of viewers by the old standards of television, but that had a very well-heeled, affluent demographic and so commanded better ad rates as a result of that.
Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. I like to be liked, but it's not like this compulsive need to be liked, like my need to be praised.
But beyond that, the general trend in television, which is accelerating, is moving away from breadth of audience and toward depth of audience. The old model of television, when you had just three networks and your rabbit ears, was to get the most people watching your show as possible. And that was it. It didn't matter if they liked it a lot. You just wanted to give them reasons not to change the channel. Now there are more and more ways basically to make money off television that don't require that sort of broad but shallow interest and, in fact, don't necessarily work with it. You know, you take something like a Netflix. Netflix sells subscriptions. To them, it could be useful to have a show on the air that doesn't get very many viewers by the standards of television, but gets a certain number of viewers that love that show enough that they wouldn't have Netflix without it. And so it's a way of monetizing the intensity of viewership. We've already seen that produce, I think, a vastly more varied and often, you know, risk-taking and more interesting kind of TV with the explosion of smaller cable channels. You know, Mad Men, all the shows of AMC and FX and so on.
We say we go to a commercial break. Brought to you by More Liquor.
And, you know, I think that that's going to be increasing now that you see television being made by Netflix, by, you know, Amazon, you know, an online bookstore.
Right.
I think absolutely you're going to be seeing a lot more television that is made for kind of intentionally a smaller amount of viewers, and it's okay.
Lastly, as a media critic, do you ever feel like ratings affect how you think about a show?
Not except in the sense that they might affect whether I write about a show, because as a critic, I think that one important thing that I do is not just to say whether a show is good or bad, but whether and how it's culturally significant. You know, it's tremendously fascinating to me that The Walking Dead, you know, which is possibly the most brutally grotesque and dark show on television, is also by many measures the most popular show on television.
You okay on your own? I'm better on my own.
You know, that's a significant thing if you're looking at TV, as I think you should, among other things, as, you know, a cultural artifact that says things about what we are like now. I think you have to ask yourself, why am I interested in a rating for the show? Is it to ask, you know, whether youth are interested in it? Is it to ask just what's its broader cultural penetration and how many people are watching it? Or am I asking, is this show a commercial success and likely not to get canceled?
James Poniewozik is a media columnist for Time magazine. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was great.